Stay tuned for Up Front Soul. Time to put a glide in your stride and hitch a ride to the soulful side with Upfront Soul. I'm your host, Sanguine Fromage, laying down 120 minutes of soulful sounds to which you may get down. For this Poetry Month edition of Upfront Soul, I'm very excited to share with you a conversation that I recently had with a very special guest, U.S. Poet Laureate Joy Harjo. I've been playing her amazing new album, I Pray for My Enemies, for the last month or so here on Upfront Soul. So we'll be spending the first hour of the show in conversation with Joy Harjo and listening to some tracks from that powerful new album. I'm very honored to speak today with Ms. Joy Harjo. She is a member of the Muscogee Creek Nation, and she is the U.S. Poet Laureate. Her latest album of poetry and music is called I Pray for My Enemies. Ms. Harjo, welcome to Upfront Soul.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for bringing me onto your show and into your community.
Well, it's really a wonderful album. You have released a number of amazing albums of poetry and music over the years. I'm curious about the motivation for this particular album. What brought you back to a blend of music and poetry at this time, if there was any kind of guiding idea that shaped the project?
Well, it's kind of a continuation from my first album years ago, Letter from the End of the 20th Century, which was the first one that was, it was called by Tower Records Magazine, the best dub poetry album made in North America. And I was learning saxophone and blending. I'd always heard music with my poetry. I came to poetry through music, through my mother's songwriting in when I was a child, and we used to have country swing musicians over. She used to write songs, record songs, and send out demos. So I came to poetry that way. So this album is just a continuation. I started playing sax when I was almost 40, and so I've continued my sax studies, and so I see it as part of the continuum of something that I started. I think that album came out in like 1990, 92, something like that.
I'm excited to hear about you as coming to the saxophone, at 40. My husband's actually learning to play the saxophone now in his 40s, and it's such a wonderful instrument. I was really interested in the song that you included in the album, Rabbit. Rabbit invents the saxophone, and the idea of that creation story is wonderful. I wonder if you want to talk a little bit about that poem or that track.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites on the album because I really enjoyed playing and on it. And usually in whatever it is I do, whether it's a book or a music album, I like to put something in that's funny or that. And there's actually a couple of them on that, the end of Stomp All Night, and then the Rabbit Invents a Saxophone. But of course, I always pay homage to Adolph Sax, who invented the saxophone, and he was vilified for inventing such an uncouth instrument. And yeah, so I always acknowledge him, but I figure the saxophone is also rowdy. I think every kind of musician, they each, the saxophone players are usually kind of they tend to, I've noticed, think out of the box and are a little rowdy. Trumpet players have their vibe, etc. And I figured Rabbit, who is the trickster figure of our Muscogee Creek people, and much like the coyote in the Southwest, that because it can be such a trickster instrument, that Rabbit must have invented the saxophone.
When one of the last trails of tears wound through New Orleans, Rabbit, that ragged trickster, decided he wanted to be a musician. He was tired of walking, and they had all the fun. They got all the women. Fans gave them smokes, drinks, and he could have all kinds of new friends to do his bidding. But Rabbit hadn't proved to be musical. When he led at Stomp Dance, no one would follow. No shell shaker would shake shells for him. He was never invited to lead, even when the young ones were called up to practice. "The first thing a musician needs is a band," he said to his friends. The hottest new music was being made at Congo Square. So many tribes were jamming there, African, Native, Cuban, and a few remnant French, making a new music of melody, love, and beat. Rabbit climbed up to the stage but had nothing to offer. Just his strut, charming banner, and what looked like a long stick down the tight leg of his pants. "Musicians, our musicians, no trick will get by. You either have it or want it. Nothing else will fly. Do you know any songs? What can you play? Can you sing? Do you have a piano, tuba, or strings?" Musicians began vamping. "What can this rabbit cat do? Is he gonna blow hot air or fart in the rain?" Rabbit turned his back to the band like that genius Miles Davis. Pulled out his stick, he made a horn with his hands. "His stick is so special," bragged Rabbit as he turned back to the jam. "No one else has one like this. You've never heard it before. It's called a sax. Phone." Rabbit's newborn horn made a rip in the sky. It made old women dance and girls fall to their knees. It made singers of tricksters. It made tricksters of players. It made trouble wherever it sang after that. time we heard Rabbit was for my cousin's run for cheap. There was a huge feed. Everyone showed up to eat. Rabbit's band got down after the speeches. We danced through the night, and nobody fought. Nor did anyone show up the next day to vote. They were sleeping.
That was Rabbit Invents the Saxophone from I Pray for My Enemies, the wonderful new album by U.S. Poet Laureate Joy Harjo. We're speaking with her today on Upfront Soul. Let's return to that interview.
I love that. I love the idea of saxophone as a trickster instrument. It's wonderful, and I love the way you brought that to life in the track. I just want to say that it's an amazing album. I've been playing my way through it week by week since I first got an advanced copy. And if I've had a problem, it's been finding which track to play each week and how not to play all the tracks each week.
Well, it's fine with me. You can play all of them.
I'm curious. I know that you've worked with different musicians on different projects, and that this has seemed like a slightly different group than you had worked with in the past. Mm-hmm. What was the genesis of this particular group of musicians? It seems like a pretty wide-ranging group.
Oh, yeah. This one, I was working predominantly with Barrett Martin. I'd known Barrett Martin for some time, and we were both living in Albuquerque at the same time in the about 2000, early 2000. And we would all hang out, you know, all musicians. He was also studying, working on his PhD in ethnomusicologist. So I got to know him there. And he always said that he wanted to, you know, he produces a lot of albums and he's a really fine player, particularly rhythm, you know, percussion and drums, but he can play just about anything. That's what happens with musicians. Mm-hmm. And so he always says, I promise you an album. And so over since that time, about 10 or 15 years, we kept in touch and he would email me, are you ready to do your album? I have studio time. Come on up. I'll help bring your songs up and I'll help you. So this summer he wrote me and said, I have another few weeks in this house in Port Townsend, and if you come up here, we can put the foundation tracks. And it was perfect timing. So that's how it started. It actually started with when he was working, releasing it's kind of a ethnomusicological memoir, The Singing Earth, that's what he called it, and asked me for a song of contemporary Native music. I said, I'll send one. So I found some tracks, drum tracks and percussion tracks we'd recorded together, just fooling around in a friend's studio in Albuquerque. I laid that down and I wrote An American Sunrise and recorded the voice and the horn in my living room, in the kitchen.
Wow.
Then we went in the studio again and he wanted to redo the drum so we could hear all the parts. And then I decided to do a different horn part. And I'm glad I did. I like this horn part. I think it's a much better horn part this time around. So that's how it started.
were running out of breath. As we ran to meet ourselves, we were surfacing the edge of our ancestors' fights and ready to strike. It was difficult to lose days in the Indian bar if you were straight. Easy if you played pool and drank to remember to forget. We made plans to be professional, and some of us could sing. We drove to the edge of the mountains with a drum. We made sense of our beautiful, crazed lives under the starry stars. We learned the devil from the Christians. We sang. We were the heathens, but needed to be saved from them. Thin chance. We knew we were all related in this story. A little gin will clarify the dark and make us all feel like dancing.
Make us feel like dancing. Make us feel like dancing.
With the music as I filled the jukebox with dimes in June. 40 years later, and we still want justice. 40 years later, and we still want justice. We are still America.
We are.
An American Sunrise, a beautiful track from U.S. Poet Laureate Joy Harjo's new album, I Pray for My Enemies. We're speaking with Ms. Harjo today on Upfront Soul.
One that I really, really love that I just keep coming back to is Calling the Spirits Back.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear you talk about that one a little bit. It's just so powerful.
Yeah, what really makes that song is the oud solo by Rahim Alhaj. Mm-hmm. He's wonderful. He's an Iraqi oud player, and I got to meet him. A lot of these players on here are Barrett's friends. Barrett's are my friends, and some of them are now my friends, too. But, Barrett brought Rahim. He had done an album for Rahim that was wonderful. And so Rahim played on two of the tunes, and then Barrett also called in a lot of many of his other friends who did really great guitar work on the albums, everybody from Mike McCready of Pearl Jam to Rich Robinson, Black Crowes, Chris Novoselic, Nirvana, and so on. Peter Buck, R.E.M., those are all Barrett's wonderful musician friends.
Well, they all blend beautifully with your saxophone and your voice reciting. I love to hear poets reciting their words, and when I do an annual Poetry Month show, at least one, and often try to find music to go with poets reading their work, and it's quite a job to find something that blends well, and so I'm always thrilled to hear poets bringing the music that works with their poems rather than trying to blend it myself. And I'm just very interested in the process for you. Do you always have the poem or the lyric first and then come to it with music, or does it ever go in the other direction?
It goes both ways, and every entity is different, just like every child is different. Every song has a different origin story, and sometimes I often start with loops or beat tracks, put those together, and then go from there. Sometimes it's more melodic, or I'll sing the poem like One Day There Will Be Horses. Mm. That one, I wrote that as a song and just sang it.
Shoulder.
fall from sparse lucky clouds. Did you find a place to sleep? You light the dark as you sing this traveling song. Hey, yeah.
Poet Laureate Joy Harjo today on Upfront Soul. We just heard One Day There Will Be Horses from her powerful new album, I Pray for My Enemies. For you, is there a line between poetry and song, or is it a continuum? Or do you see some things as poems and some things as songs, or do they sort of hybridize?
For me, they hybridize, but when I have published songs in my books of poetry, because I'm very acutely aware of the literati, I will say something is a song in parentheses, you know. But otherwise, for me, I don't differentiate too much, except that usually when you write a song, you know that, you know, the elbows of the song will be, you know, resting on song forms, so to speak. So it's a little different. It is a little different.
I also love the title track, I Pray for My Enemies. It's such a complex and wonderful statement. And I wonder if you would talk about that one a little bit. It surprises within itself to me when I listen to it. And I'd love to hear what you have to say about it.
Yeah, that one, I mean, I think it's... the poems, songs, they always teach me something.
Yeah.
You know, they always teach me something. And sometimes it takes me a long time to get it. Mm. Or it's how I want to be. Mm-hmm. But when that line came, the door to the mind should only open from the heart. Mm. You know, sometimes when I'm writing and, you know, coming up with something, I just like, whoa, where did that come from? Little sax solo in the middle. That one I recorded on my iPhone.
Oh, wow.
I was just taping ideas for songs to write. And so, I mean, you know, it's part of the creative mind, heart, spirit field.
Let's hear This Morning I Pray for My Enemies now from U.S. Poet Laureate Joy Harjo's new album, I Pray for My Enemies. Here on Upfront Soul.
This morning I pray for my enemies. And whom do I call my enemy? An enemy must be worthy of engagement. I turn in the direction of the sun and keep walking. It's the heart that asks the question, not my furious mind. The heart is the smaller cousin of the sun. It sees and knows everything. It hears the gnashing, even as it hears the blessing. The door to the mind should only open from the heart. An enemy who gets in risks the danger of becoming a friend.
Just heard "This Morning I Pray for My Enemies" from "I Pray for My Enemies," an amazing album of poetry and music by U.S. Poet Laureate Joy Harjo. We're listening to a conversation I had recently with Ms. Harjo, talking about her creative process as she recorded this powerful new album.
I was wondering how things take shape for you. Was this a long process of putting this album together? I know everyone's life is a little different in the pandemic. I think some people are having a little more time to work on projects like that, but I'm curious about how long this one's been gestating.
Well, in the pandemic gave me a lot of time because I was going to be traveling every week. But I had these songs. I hadn't put out an album in 10 years, so I had been playing and I had been going out and doing gigs, but I hadn't put a new album out. And usually my albums are 10 songs. Mm-hmm. So Barrett encouraged, you know, like, remember, I'd kind of wanted to do that when I had never put that on an album. And I still want to make it into a song lyric and sing it, but I read it here. Fear is an old one. This is the third album I put it on. It's had different iterations. It was first on mostly percussion with Joy Harjo and Poetic Justice. And then on my Native Joy for Real, I had a hip hop producer and it has a whole different feel. And this one, I thought, given the whole, you know, the timing of the album and really the focus of the album is to help evoke change to a more compassionate society, I decided to include fear, especially because of all the racial disparity and the division in this country and, you know, pandemic. So that's why, once again, I included fear on this.
And terrible fear, I release you. You were my beloved and hated twin, but now I don't know you as myself. I release you with all the pain I would know at the death of my children. You are not my blood anymore. I give you back to the soldiers who burned down my home, beheaded my children. I give you back to those who stole the food from our plates when we were starving. I release you, fear, because you hold these scenes in front of me and I was born with eyes that can never close. I release you. I release you. I release you. I release you. I am not afraid to be angry. I am not afraid to rejoice. I am not afraid to be black. I am not afraid to be white. I am not afraid to be hungry. I am not afraid to be full. I am not afraid to be hated. I am not afraid to be loved. You have choked me, but I gave you the leash. You have gutted me, but I gave you the knife. You have devoured me, but I laid myself across fire. I take myself back, fear. You are not my shadow any longer. Hold you in my hands. You can't live in my eyes, my ears, my voice, my belly, or in my heart. My heart, my heart, my heart, my heart, my heart, my heart, my heart. Come here, fear. I am alive. I'm so afraid of dying. I release you. I release you. I release you. I release you.
We just heard Fear from I Pray for My Enemies. An amazing new album by U.S. Poet Laureate Joy Harjo, who joins us for a conversation about poetry and music on this special Poetry Month edition of Upfront Soul. I also wondered, I came across a snippet of hearing that you had an association with Jim Pepper at one point, just speaking of saxophone legends. He is one of my very, very favorite musicians, and I play him often on my show, and I wonder if you might say a word or two about Jim Pepper.
Oh, I love Jim. He was what I would call a saxophone ancestor. Mm. And I started learning sax. I started out on a tenor, and then I got not too long after I bought a soprano. Mm. And I was traveling to New York City for a gig, a performance, and took my soprano and called up Jim and hung out with him. And, you know, every time I'd go in the city and could, I'd hang out, we'd hang out, go up on that, 42nd, 43rd, 44th, where they have all the music stores, and try out new mouthpieces and so on. And last time I saw him was in New York at the Village Vanguard. I was hanging out with Jane Cortez. And Jane is the one who really inspired what I do with music and poetry. Some people say the Beats, or they'll say John Trudell, but it was really Jane Cortez.
Interesting.
Yes, and you know, she was married at one point to Ornette Coleman, and they have a son together who played drums, Dane Arda, who played drums in her band, The Fire Spitters.
Let's hear Jane Cortez and The Fire Spitters now with Talk to Me for Don Cherry, who was an African-American and Choctaw trumpeter who played with Jane Cortez's husband, Ornette Coleman, here on Upfront Soul.
Through the zone. Move on back, smear your sacks with the stream where you dream. Send those notes over here. Speak on out, speak on out.
Was Jane Cortez and the Fire Spitters with Talk to Me for Don Cherry from their album Taking the Blues Back Home. We're talking today on this special Poetry Month edition of Upfront Soul with U.S. Poet Laureate Joy Harjo about her wonderful new album, I Pray for My Enemies, on which she plays saxophone and flute. Do you also play flute?
Yeah, I play flute on Running. I play flute at the end of Running.
Can you talk about the flutes you play?
That one, I played a silver flute, and I hadn't picked up a flute. I've never had training on it. I just play it. So I usually play native flute and play silver flute. I play bass. A friend just sent me a guitar. You pick up things. The problem with guitar is I can play songs, and then I can sing them, but putting it all together and coordination, I still haven't really gotten that down yet.
It's closing time. Violence is my boyfriend with a cross to bear, hoisted on by the church. He wears it everywhere. There are no female deities in the Trinity. I don't know how I'm gonna get out of here, said the flying fish to the tree. Last call, we've had it with history. We who look for a vision here in the Indian and poetry bar, somewhere to the left of hell. Now I have to find my way. When there's a river to cross and no boat to get me there, when there appears to be no home at all. My father gone, chased by the stepfather's gun. Get out of here! I found my father at the bar, his ghost at least, some piece of him in this sorry place. The boyfriend's convincing to a crowd. Right now, he's the spell of attraction. What tales he tells in the fog of thin hope. I wander the sad world we've made with the enemy's words. The lights quiver, like they do when the power's dwindling to a dangling stream. It's time to go home. We are herded like stoned cattle, like children for the bombing drill. Out the door, into the dark street of this old Indian town, where there are no Indians anymore. I was afraid of the dark because then I could see everything The truth with its eyes staring back at me. The mouth of the dark with its shiny moon teeth. No words, just a hiss and a snap. I could hear my heart hurting with my in-the-dark ears. I thought I could take it. Where was the party? It's been a century since we left home with the American soldiers at our backs. The party had long started up in the parking lot. He flew through the dark, broke my stride with a punch. I went down and came up. I thought I could take being a girl with her heart in her arms. I carried it for justice, for the rights of all Indians. We all had that cross to bear. Those old ones followed me, the quiet girl with the long dark hair, the daughter of a warrior who wouldn't give up. I wasn't ready yet to fling free the cross. I ran and I ran through the 2 a.m. streets. It was my way of breaking free. I was anything but history. I was the wind.
Indigenous, you know, Native American poet laureate. Poetry as indigenous resistance or resilience seems to be a theme that you've spoken about at times, and I wonder what you might have to say about that.
Well, I came to poetry because, you know, as a student at the University of New Mexico, involved in Kiva Club, indigenous, which, you know, we were kind of human rights central when it came to indigenous peoples when I was a student at University of New Mexico. And that's where, you know, I came into poetry. But you always see poetry, the poets are truth tellers. I mean, I think that's, poets are charged with being truth tellers. Mm-hmm. You know, with language makes things happen. You know, there's a lot of power in orality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are making our world, each of us individually, as nations, even as Earth, we're making our world by our words. Mm. And then when you add music, it lifts it up and it makes it, it even has a larger, I think, a deeper trajectory.
Mm-hmm. I was really fascinated by a project that you worked on, the Living Nations, Living Words.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interactive map of Native poets. I would love to hear a little bit about that. And is that an ongoing project?
Oh, it could be ongoing, but what we're dealing with here is capacity. And so the map is as it is on the site of the Library of Congress. We have 47 Native poets. And of course, there are many more Native poets.
Sure.
And I wanted to put every Native poet ever on that map, and then every American poet ever, and show how we're all connected.
Mm.
There's a book that's due out in a few weeks from that project, called Living Nations, Living Words, co-produced by Library of Congress and Norton. So
Wonderful.
That will be out May 4th. That will be out May 4th.
Wow, that's great. I'll definitely be looking for that one. I'm curious also about, you have a forthcoming memoir, Poet mm-hmm. Warrior?
Yes, it is. It's called Poet Warrior, A Call for Love and Justice, and that will be out in September.
Great, and this is your second memoir.
Yes, the first was Crazy Brave, and the first one was 14 years late, and I'm usually pretty good at getting things in on time, but this one I got in early because of the pandemic. So I stayed inside and wrote it and got it in, so it will be out September.
Wonderful. I'm very excited to read that. And speaking of the pandemic, I know that one of the songs on I Pray for My Enemies was written in response to COVID coming to your community.
Yes, that's the song, How Love Blows Through the Trees.
Mm.
Yeah, that song came, and it came as a song, was looking out, and I think it was a gray day, and it was so quiet I have a Tulsa Artist Fellowship, or now a Tulsa Arts Integration Fellowship, to write my musical play that will show that Natives are part of, Southeastern Native music was part of the origin story of jazz, blues, music. So I was sitting here looking out, and usually this part of town, it's in the arts district, it's just full of people, and you know, it's a very lively part of town, and there was nobody on the streets, nothing, it was just quiet. And I was thinking, and that's how the song How Love Blows Through the Trees happened.
This old creek town appears empty, except for the trees, and the story of how wind will come to clean the earth of the takers who took and never give back. One day my grandfather used to sing, a fresh world will rise up to take the place of the society didn't love the earth. We lost ourselves when we crossed that river, my grandfather used to say. He would smoke to the east, northwest, and south, touch the earth and the sky. He'd be standing in the kitchen, there'd be no one listening. Pass this love on, he'd say, who knows how to bend, it will never break. It's the only thing with a give and take. The more it's used, the more it makes. Father flew like smoke to the sky side of earth. He left us here in this place he blessed. What stories you carried, what laughter wrapped memory. Now I'm standing in the kitchen and I can hear him singing. Pass this love on, he'd say, it knows how to bend, it will never break. It's the only thing with a give and take. The more it's used, the more it makes. That love's a bridge that will cross the river home. He'd be standing in the dark with no one listening. How time blows steadily through the trees. How time blows steadily through the city. Thank you.
That was How Love Blows Through the Trees by Joy Harjo. We're spending the first hour of this edition of Upfront Soul in conversation with Ms. Harjo.
This latest project, I Pray for My Enemies, this album is fantastic, and I have enjoyed your previous albums very much, and it's wonderful to have something new from you. It's really a gift, I think, to us in this time. Could you talk about how you begin the album with a more traditional song?
Yes, I'd ask my cousin Joe Sulfur for a song I could sing when I go out, you know, away from our community. And he gave me this one to sing. And so I loved when I say recorded it and so on. And then I said, wait, I pulled it up on my iPhone where I had recorded him, and I put it right in at the end. I thought that made a nice juxtaposition because it is an older piece. But then I took it in my way, and then I did my own thing with it. But there's the roots, there's the roots. And I like that about how that worked out.
It's just a joy to get to talk with you about this. And I'm very excited about what you have coming down the line with this musical play. I certainly hope that will be released as an album at some time, because I will certainly want to play it on Upfront Soul. Is there anything that, just quickly, about that role of the Southeast Native American music? I feel like you address that a little bit with Rabbit Invents the Saxophone with New Orleans. Is that part of the story?
It is part of the story, and who knows, that song might wind up in it. You know, I'm kind of in the middle of it, or trying to get to the middle of it. It's, you know, the thing with the music will be my own way of showing those musical influences and culminating in some traditional Muscogee Creek music after following all this trail of, you know, what early jazz sounded like to the different kinds of forms it morphed into from the root music from, say, the Houma Muscogean people who had a village at Congo Square.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, I'm so looking forward to that project, and I am so enjoying I Pray for My Enemies. I will continue to play it and encourage everyone to go get their own copy, because this is music that I'm enjoying listening to over and over, and I get something new from it every time I listen again. And so I'm really grateful for this, both for the poetry, the music, and for your generously giving your time speaking with me today.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad we could do this. So thank you. And thanks for the support.
Well, thank you so much, Ms. Joy Harjo, U.S. Poet Laureate, for speaking with me here on Upfront Soul. And I thank you for the beauty you bring to the world.
Thank you.